You'll find this morning's reading on page 1184 of the Church Bibles. It comes from Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 3, and beginning to read at verse 18. Wives, submit to your husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you and to win their favour, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for his wrong, and there is no favoritism. Masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Before we begin, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this passage, and I pray that as I speak, that your voice might be heard beyond mine. Amen. We're continuing with our series in the book of Colossians, and our topic, as indicated on the bulletin, is instructions in Christian households. And I'd like to begin this morning with a perspective on family life that is provided by a particularly well-known family. I wonder how many of us identify with some of the images or observations made by members of the Simpson family in that clip. In the Webb household, for example, it might be the speed in which two boys, or is it three, dispatch food from their plates into their mouths. At the beginning of the passage that was read to us a moment ago, the writer Paul provides instructions for all those who in his day would have been members of a typical Christian household. And earlier this year, and using Ephesians chapter 5, Roger and Sheena and Trevor set out a model for the Christian household in the 21st century. And if you haven't yet listened to those talks, then I recommend them both. It's not my intention then to restate what they have already covered, but it's likely that aspects of my talk this morning will have some overlap with what has already been said. And in particular, I want to draw out two themes from this passage in Colossians, and these are servant leadership and service in general. And our starting point for both themes can be found in verse 23, where Paul says this: whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. As Christians, Christ first and foremost calls us into relationship with himself, and then he calls us to serve others. And whether that means serving our spouse, if we have one, our families, or those outside of our families, or exercising leadership in the church or beyond, Jesus is to be our model and example. And the theme of service in the marital home is highlighted at the very beginning of the passage in verses 18 and 19. Can we have the first slide, please? Where Paul says this: wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. I think it's fair to say that we live in a society where the word submission holds little appeal for people in general. It would seem that culturally, this particular word belongs to a bygone age or era. Instead, today in Western Europe, there is another word that has seemingly become a defining one for the 21st century. And this word has become the driving force behind much of the legislation that has been passed both here and in Europe. And the word is equality. And in many cases, there are many very good reasons for this. Some equality legislation has caused us to think again about the value that we as human beings place on our fellow humans. And some of this legislation has been passed in order to readdress the balance of power, particularly amongst those who have historically held or exercised power and have sadly abused that power in the process. So today there is perhaps a sense that when these two words, submission on the one hand and equality on the other, are placed side by side in our modern day culture, they are not a natural fit. They appear incompatible. But it's clear that in Paul's extended teaching on the marital relationship in Ephesians chapter 5, that both wife and husband are called to mutual submission. Can we have the next slide, please? In Ephesians chapter 5 and from verse 21, Paul writes this: submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. The call here then is for mutual submission. I have to confess that there are times when it comes as a blow to me to be reminded that I don't know everything, particularly when I'm in a heated discussion with my wife, Kate. And sometimes on these occasions, my pride and my ego will desperately attempt to prolong the discussion or debate, even when deep down I know that I'm wrong. And it could be that there are others here this morning, male and female, who also on occasions find it difficult to acknowledge when they haven't quite got it right. And when this is in relation to areas where we believe our knowledge and expertise to be greater than the person to whom we are speaking, it can be a particularly difficult pill to swallow. Which might explain why, when on those occasions us men are behind the wheel of a car and we get lost, we find it difficult to acknowledge, particularly when we receive a few helpful suggestions from the person next to us. The reality is that as human beings, we will not be right all of the time. Only God has that privilege. The key then is being able to acknowledge and affirm our partner and others whenever their wisdom or take on a situation trumps our own perspective of the same situation. And at times, the willingness to acknowledge the perspective and wisdom of others above our own will require humility on our part. The Bible also suggests that submission to one another applies to relationships throughout the wider body of the church and not just between husband and wife. And that submission involves much more than simply the question of who's right and who's wrong. For example, the law of love, or agape, which is the word used by Paul here for love in the original Greek text, suggests that submission to others also requires that you and I constantly ask ourselves how we might serve the needs of those beside us or around us better, and ultimately in the process, serve God. And again, the law of love applies to all Christians, whether we're married or not. And this is a high bar, because to continually look out for and serve the needs of others or those beside me suggests that I should be willing to place their needs before or above my own. And I have to confess, it's an area that I don't always get right. When Kate was pregnant with our second son, Joshua, and while in the delivery room waiting for his arrival, Kate's labor, from my very limited male perspective, seemed to go on forever. There was a TV in our room, and I knew that there was football on that evening. So I asked her, would she mind if I watched it? Her response, mid-contraction, suggested that this was not a good move on my part. In both Colossians and Ephesians, husbands are commanded to love or agape their wives. And in the passage from Ephesians above, Paul expands on this and says that they are called to love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. And of course, this command presents husbands with an incredibly high bar. From the beginning to the end of his ministry, Christ's love for those he encountered and for those who followed him was characterized by service. On the eve of the crucifixion, and as he gathered with his disciples in the upper room, he noted that their dirty and sandaled feet needed washing, a task normally carried out by the lowest slave. Yet, with a complete absence of ego and self-interest, Jesus took on that role himself and washed their feet. The following day, he went willingly to the cross, and in the ultimate act of self-sacrifice, he laid down his life for you and for me and for the world at large. The whole of his life then, particularly his ministry, was characterized by service and self-sacrifice. And men, if we're comfortable with the idea of being the leader or head of our family, if we're comfortable with the title but are less than comfortable with loving our wives as Christ loved the church, then there is seemingly a disconnect that we need to address. Can we have the slide off, please? Moving on and away from the marital home, it is also clear that God appoints both men and women into positions of leadership within his church. And for all those who exercise a leadership role or who aspire to become leaders in the future, Christ's model of leadership suggests that leaders are servants, first and foremost. Again, it is a high bar and is a role for which God both equips and supports all those whom he has called or will call in the future. Though regardless of whether we are called to exercise a leadership role or not, there is another spiritual principle in this passage that can be applied to the whole family of God. I referred to it earlier at the beginning of this talk. Can we have the next slide, please? In verse 23, Paul writes this: whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. And the context for this verse or instruction is with regard to those who are working in or under difficult circumstances. And in this passage, it was aimed at slaves. The New Testament and the issue of slavery is a fascinating area and one that we don't have time to look at this morning. And if that comes as a bit of a blow because you were hoping that we might tackle this, because there were questions that you had, then come and talk to me at the end of the service. I have a perspective on this, and I think it's biblical, and I'd be happy to share it with you. But as mentioned earlier, in spite of its original context, verse 23 above also provides a spiritual principle that we can all apply to our lives. So, this morning, is there an area of service in your life that the Holy Spirit is drawing to your attention? If so, how will you respond? Are we currently living or laboring under difficult circumstances? It could be within our own household. It could be in our place of work. And perhaps the environment or atmosphere is particularly bad or hostile. The Lord's instruction is that for as long as we are called to remain in that place, and provided that whatever it is that we're doing is not in violation of God's general will revealed in the Bible, then God calls us to apply ourselves in that place as if we were working directly for him. And this morning, for some of us, this might be difficult to hear. And it's not my intention to be flippant, dismissive, or insensitive. In my working life, I've worked in some horrible places where relationships have broken down amongst team members and employees. As a former teacher, I remember one school that I taught in where, whenever I could, I avoided going into the staff room because the negativity, and for want of a better expression, the backstabbing, created an atmosphere that I was happy to avoid. If there's an encouragement from this verse, and there is, then it's to do with the fact that when we commit our lives and our labor to God's glory, we are essentially working for him. And when we work for God, we are given access to all the resources of heaven, including God's peace and the assurance of his presence with us in order to sustain us in that place of work. And in a moment, as we approach the Lord's table for communion, let us ask Jesus for what we need this morning. It is the Lord Christ that we are serving. And he gives generously of himself to all who ask. Amen.